See when. Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you're with us, and remember, we are the resistance. Kevin, how are you doing today, buddy?
Man, rocking. I'm just happy, man.
Yeah, I saw you yawning a minute ago, and I went, is today one of those days you're putting 2 gallons in a quart jar, not just one? And you said,
four. It was actually the weekend I did it. That's I'm just recovering from that.
You know, a lot of my buddies right now, they're sitting in tree stands, and I wish I was.
Shut up.
I know.
Why do we got to go there already?
It's killing me. I mean, they're getting bucks. My buddy Doug Gert, you know, from DG Archery.
Yes.
I want to make sure I get that right. He shot a nice buck last night. Got a picture of it. And I got another buddy this morning who had really severe stomach pains in the middle of the night. And I'm not going to say who he is. It's private. But he's in the hospital today wondering if he's going to have part of his colon removed. So, wow.
Yeah. Use one of them butt tools.
Yeah. They have a tool you call a butt out, and when you get an animal out, you kind of, you know, when you want to clean the back of the animal out, you kind of just put it in there and twist it to pull stuff out. Choked. He goes, I think they might use that on me.
Yeah, get out the butt out.
I hope not. Ugh. Yeah, heebie jeebies on that.
Yeah, one. I got the little chills over here.
You know, the rut week is going on right now. What is today? November the 3rd?
Yes, the 3rd.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's election day.
Yeah.
But, all this week should be really great. The barometric pressure, you know, just the weather, the cooler temperatures. It's a fun time to be in the woods. And I wish I was there.
Yeah.
I might be. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, I just today finished my last cardiac rehab session at the hospital after my quadruple bypass.
Excellent.
Happy to report that my number after an hour of cardio was 121 over 80.
Yeah, fantastic, Brent.
Yeah, and I'm not on like the Losartan and the blood pressure
statins
stuff.
Statins or whatever they're called.
Yeah, well, the statins, that's cholesterol issue.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Add it backwards.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
Well, yeah, you should be pretty excited. So now, you've graduated.
Well, tomorrow I graduate. Tomorrow's the actual graduation. I said, are you going to give me cake?
Wow.
Sorry, you don't get that.
Yeah. So is there do you graduate into like from, you know, junior high into high school or high school into college? Do you go to something different now, or is it just, nope, I'm on my own?
No, I think I'm just old now. I just graduated. I'm officially old. No, I got a gym at home. You know, once I've graduated from that, I think if I didn't have that stuff and my number wasn't good, they'll sign you up for another, 12 sessions or whatever.
Got it. Nice.
Congrats. I'm pumped, dude.
That's a huge congratulations. What are we lifting now? 15? 20?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be
lifting. You're graduating. Just tell us what you're doing. At this point, you got the diploma. You can say anything.
Right. I'm supposed to be lifting. I just finished 8 weeks, so I'm now officially in my 9th week, which means I can do 15 in each hand, which means 20, right?
Uh-huh.
That's in each hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm
at. I hear it. Yep.
Yeah. My hearing is a little funky. With uh-huh. That.
Definitely selective.
Well, in yesterday, I had to lift a little bit more. My wife, what was yesterday? November 2nd?
Sunday.
And she's already, let's get the Christmas decorations out.
Oh, see, too early. We got turkeys to think of. Did you see the shirt I wore today?
Oh, wow. WKRP Thanksgiving.
It's the inaugural WKRP turkey drop.
Where did you get that?
Do you remember when Les Nessman, he was the news guy?
Oh, yeah.
Right? When he decided that for Thanksgiving that WKRP was going to drop turkeys out of a helicopter or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. But they ended up dropping frozen turkeys.
Oh, and did it kill people or something?
I think so.
You know, one of the funniest videos,
I hear it
anyway. Reels, you've probably seen this. They've got this girl, and she's probably 18, 20 years old, and they have her say, hey, would you go ahead and get the stuff out of the turkey that just came out of the oven? And she reaches inside, and they had stuck a Cornish game hen inside of this thing. And she reaches in to pull the stuff out, and she pulls out this little Cornish game hen that was it was already, just like what the turkey was. It's
yes.
Only the breast and the body. And she thought it was a baby turkey. She starts crying because she just didn't realize turkeys lay eggs. And she's like, it had a baby. And she's crying. Oh, my gosh.
I got to correct what I said. They weren't frozen turkeys. They were real turkeys, but they were domesticated, so they didn't really fly.
Yeah, right. I remember that. Well, what I remember from that show probably was my first boyhood crush.
Oh, yeah, Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson.
I think a lot of guys are probably saying
Didn't she just pass away a couple months ago or something?
I have no idea.
I think she did.
I'm not very connected to the news.
Yeah.
I don't find it exciting.
Well, I think if it was like your very first crush you ever had and they pass away, like maybe. you're a Farrah Fawcett fan.
Linda Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Farrah Fawcett. Lonnie Anderson.
I think Jacqueline Smith is like 85 or 87. Oh,
yeah, the Charlie's Angels are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're 12, it's like, she's cute.
They never used to show Charlie, right? They would only show like his, they should have called it Charlie's Ankles.
Was it Boz?
Charlie's Ankles, because that's all you could see.
But it was Bosworth, right? Boz.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the main connection.
Man, we are dating ourselves here.
Oof.
Well, speaking of, I was watching, because we were talking about reels and stuff. I was watching a reel. You know, we always talk about, you know, being the resistance. And you asked me one time, you know, what does that look like? And we kind of went through it. I think today I want to unpack that just a little bit more because, you know, you said something about being passive. And if you're being passive, you're not really being the resistance, right? Because the men who act, the guys who lead, who pray, who show up, you know, these are the guys that are out changing their homes or changing their men's groups, their churches, their communities. And I know firsthand that God is not finished with us. Mm. You know, in 9 weeks now, it's my post-heart surgery. And you know this, I feel more alive now than I ever have. And I've got not just a new heart physically, but spiritually. And I truly believe that God has spared my life because he's not done unleashing his men through what God's called me to do and for what he's called you to do. That's the resistance. Did you ever read a book? It was called Can You Drink This Cup by Henry Nouwen.
I know Henry Nouwen, but I don't think I've ever read that book.
It's basically like the cup of Christ. You know, can you, do you see it? Can you pick it up? Are you willing to lift the cup? Are you willing to drink what's in the cup? It's an amazing, amazing book. But the whole thing comes back down. You know, I was looking at a reel this morning, and there were some things that really rang true. You know, it's like when you think about the cup of Christ, what we're called to do, we don't want to do. You know, we want to wear a cross, but we don't want to carry our cross, right? We want God to bless us, but we don't want him to change us. We like our lives the way they are.
Right.
And we want just enough Jesus to inspire us, but not to transform us, because that's going to require more of us. I was thinking about this a second ago, too, is, you know, if you're truly in love with someone, don't you find joy in serving them?
Yeah, that's interesting. For sure I do. In fact, there's a guy that's a friend of mine that I was able to help this weekend with something. No big deal, but he's just like, hey, I'm sorry if like I embarrass you or I bother you or I whatever you. And I'm like, you don't get it. I'm like, two things. One, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to help you. And the people who fail in life tend to not ask for help.
Yeah. Boy, I have to be careful because I can put my hand up on that one.
Probably can put our hand up on that one, but the truth of the matter is, you know that old axiom, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a very accurate statement. And
how is that far. When you think about like over the last 30 years of your life, what does that look like? Where were you compared to where you are now, leaning on those type of things?
I mean, there were times when, you know, you have to eat humble pie. Maybe I have, I need some extra finances because whatever, we're short this month or this quarter, this year, this whatever. And you go to your friends and go, I have seen a situation where I need some help from a brother. You know, are you able to help me out here? That hurts. It's hard. Yeah. But you know what's crazy is when people have come to me in that situation, I am so grateful they did because I want to be able to help them.
Yeah.
I don't want them suffering and, you know, going through that misery and that pain of not, you know, being able to think about taking care of the wife, just the stress that comes with that. I've been there, so I know, like, the stress that comes with that, it's no fun. And so I think you have to think about the other side. Like, you may feel small. You may feel inconsequential. You may feel guilty. You may feel whatever. I think that's why he used the word embarrass. I'm sorry if I embarrass you. But the truth of the matter is, if you think about the other person, like, they always want to help. I want my kids to come to me when they need help. I want my wife to come to me when she needs help. I want my friends to come to me when they need help. Now, I'm not always able to help. Oftentimes, I can maybe help point towards help. But I want to be involved in helping them get help.
Yeah.
And so this is a little contrarian, but if they don't come to me for help, they're taking away my opportunity to get blessed through that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had guys say to me, you know, especially since my heart surgery, whether it was some financial blessing or deer meat, as crazy as that may sound, my buddy Jeff called me up, and another guy, my buddy Tab, both of them in the last few weeks have said, I know that this is going to be a hard year for you because you're not going to be able to get out and do that. And even if you could get out, how are you going to get that deer out of the woods?
Sure.
And they got it.
15 pounds at a time.
You're right. 20.
Yeah.
20.
Whatever. That's right.
But they get it, you know, and they're like, hey, I'm driving to your house. And I'm like, no, you don't need to do that. No, don't rob me of the blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know. Thank you. It's hard to sometimes just swallow. Yeah.
And all I want, like when I help my daughter, let's say, all I want to hear is thank you.
Yeah.
I don't even need to, but I want to for obvious reasons. Yeah. So I'm raising her.
But
that's so sufficient because I've been blessed by being able to help.
Oh, and there's been, you know, like, I mean, you helped when we were going through this with the GoFundMe. It was so funny. I forgot that the GoFundMe was still up there and someone gave something the other day. And I get this notification, and I didn't even know people could still see that. And so it was really helpful. It came at a perfect time. Lester's Feet was another organization, you know, with Chasing Giants. They saw what was happening because I do their Sunday night prayer time like once a quarter.
Yep.
And they didn't even hesitate when they found out that I had quadruple bypass and I was going to have to cancel all my fall events. They're like, we're going to help. We want to keep you doing what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's my purpose. It's what I'm passionate
Brent,
about.
Speaking of which, like, I see you. You come in here, you're full of energy. You just got off the treadmill. You're pumping in at 121 over 80. Is there any reason you couldn't do a fall event next week? I mean, are you prohibited from flying? Are you?
No, I just got cleared.
Yeah.
The doctor last week said, you're good to travel now.
Because I mean, obviously, I've been driving. When you canceled your event, you didn't know how long this was going to be.
Yeah, and game dinners kind of look like this. And a lot of you guys listening to this, you know what? I wanted to say something about this today, so maybe this is a good chance to do it.
You didn't see me just teeing you up perfectly for that?
I know. That was really nice. Yeah. I was trying to act like you weren't, but
I don't think I really was, but we'll take it. Let's keep going.
But it's true. You know, my last event would have been last week because by the time you get to November in the rut, you know, whether it's game dinners, sportsman's dinners, conferences, they know they're going to lose a number of guys that aren't going to be able to come. There's a few events that might book in November. By the time you get to December, everyone's got their Christmas stuff, agendas going on at their churches. Oh, yeah. And they're not doing anything.
School plays, church things, whatever's.
But yeah, and here's the thing. They could call me and book me next week. Now, if you want to do it for the guys who are in your church already, that's fine. No worries. The problem is you have to have enough time.
Yeah, to build an audience.
To build an audience, to advertise. Because you want to bring in, when I speak for game dinners, and I've been doing those since 2006, I haven't spoken for just tens of 20s. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of game dinners and men's conferences and men's retreats and churches. You know, it's. I'm trying to think. You have to build that audience because you want the guys that would never darken the door of a church to come through as well. And at the game dinners, I would say probably, and this is the statistic from through the years, 60% of the guys, when a church puts on a wild game dinner or a sportsman's banquet or a wild beast feast, whatever you guys call it, you're going to find out that 60% of those guys would probably never darken the door of a church if it wasn't for an event like this.
Yeah,
because you're tapping into a brotherhood. You're tapping into their passions, their, you know, the adventure. You know, John Eldridge nailed it. In Wild at Heart, when those three principles we talked about, a battle to fight, an adventure, living a beauty to rescue.
Yep.
That's something that is very core to men.
Yeah.
And you also, they want to have something in their life bigger than themselves to give their lives to. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about today is, you know, when I go and I speak for these events, I love it, but I don't know most of the people when I go and speak at these events, obviously, but I get to know them, but here's what I see. When I arrive at the church and I'm unpacking, they've already got, you know, part of their staff there to help. Some guys are carrying things in. You have guys back at the sound booth, the video, they're getting things ready. You have the product tables. Guys are moving tables for vendors, maybe their local sportsman shops, archery, gun, whatever they got, fishing. They're getting things set up to wake up the heart of a man when he comes in. Then you walk around the back of the church and they have all these grills and things set up. And, you know, they're frying up fish or they're cooking venison tenderloins wrapped in bacon or...
Man...
But it's a team.
Yes.
And they'll do this for hours before the event.
Yes.
even in the cold, because those guys are having a ball telling stories and communicating. It's not boring. Yeah.
That's where the community in that sitting begins.
Yeah.
Way before the actual event.
And so, I don't want to jump to the end of the podcast, but what I want to say about this maybe here is, you guys that are listening, you know, if you've been to some of these events, it wakes you up. You can't wait till it comes around. They've got prize giveaways, crazy stories. And then at the end of the evening, like when I'm speaking, I always start with some of my really crazy off the wall stories. But I bring it back around to something to where my need for Christ and your need for Christ. Because if you can build trust with these guys by loving them well, you know, you've met their bellies, right? You've given them good food, prizes. They've been giving away fishing poles or guns or tree stands or whatever. And the stories, the sense of adventure, if you can build trust with them, because they really believe that you did this because you care about them, not just because you have an agenda to get them saved, because they can see through that pretty quick. Like at the very end, they'll give me some kind of a little card. And I'll read when I get done at the very end of the evening. You know, one of the stories I was doing in the last couple of years was, you know, I got sucked to the bottom of a 16-foot fishing hole, and I was in a whirlpool. And I hit bottom, and that's the only thing that saved my life, because when I hit bottom, I hit a rock or a log or something, which allowed me to stop being stuck in that whirlpool, and I could push off and get above. So then I would say to the guys at the end, you know, was it a good thing or a bad thing that I hit bottom? And then bring it back to your life. Maybe you're going through a financial crisis or physical crisis or whatever is going on, and you know that if you hit bottom, that seems like where God just all of a sudden reveals himself the most, and you know, because you couldn't make it yourself without him. And so it's a wonderful way to be able to use these stories and bring it back around to their need for a savior. But what I wanted to challenge you guys is, are you guys doing things like that? I mean, some churches will, like, once every quarter, they'll flip pancakes at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'll have an hour get together. I think that's good. I don't think it's enough.
It's great if there's sausage
and pancakes, yeah, and maple syrup.
The pancake's a good start, but if there's sausage, it goes from good
bacon
to great.
Bacon. Oh. Well,
I take that too, but sausage patties at those events are just...
Yeah. Mm. And when they say, you guys, there's enough here, you can come back for seconds.
Holler.
It's like sick them to a dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, when it comes back to purpose, I wanted to put a challenge out. If you guys really believe in men's ministry, that's what we're doing here. That's who we're really trying to reach.
Yes.
Now we're passing the torch off to you. Guys, get involved. Do a small group study with your guys. Do a Saturday morning cookout. Do a game dinner. Do a men's conference. Do, you know, bring someone in for Sunday to talk about reaching men so that they can, the church will get behind, because a lot of churches have stuff for women. A lot of them do.
Yes.
But not a whole lot for men.
Yes. Lydia Circle and other great groups like that. You ever look through a telescope?
Yeah, it's weird you brought that up. I was just like thinking about that because of that new like comet that they're seeing going right now.
Yeah, I think it's gone now, but
it's on the other side of the sun or something. Or...
I think it's out of our view.
Yeah, they're saying they're seeing like lights in it. They think it's some
spacecraft. Yeah, that's not where I was going with this, Brent.
I was trying to tee up.
Way to tee up a great story. No, I was just gonna say, when you look through a telescope, it brings things closer, right? So I can look at Mars and brings things closer. I can't see the rings of Saturn with my naked eye, but if I jump on a telescope and look at Saturn, I can see the rings of Saturn. When you go to an event like this, it's telescopic in that it brings heaven like in.
Yeah.
You feel closer to what you're going to, I think you feel closer to what you're going to feel when we get to just have the ultimate brotherhood and hang out with our Lord in heaven.
You know what it's like to be elk hunting in Colorado, and then you come back for the afternoon when everything is slow, and you guys sit around and talk about what you saw, or that night when you're cooking after you're done and you're catching up on the day. And
the stars, they're all out there, and it's just majestic. Let me tell you one time about how I was just driving out in the middle of Ohio. I don't even know where I was. I was supposed to come down I-70 to come home from somewhere, and I was like, well, I'm not going to do that because that's boring. So I just jumped off onto a bunch of dirt roads and was driving home. And I knew as long as I was headed west, I would generally get close to home. So it's probably 1 a.m, and it is crystal clear, and there is not a light in the sky. And I'm like, you know what? I just pull over, I get outside, I look out, and I'm like, God, this is amazing. Just unbelievable. Like, you can see the Milky Way. And then about 3 minutes later, I was like, oh, it's kind of getting creepy. Jumping back in my car. Dude. Your mind gets a little bit like,
yeah, no.
Hey, somebody else could be out here. I'm like, who else could be out here? But somebody else could be out here. Who else?
You're one of the craziest dark the stories like that.
Yeah, because it was pitch black.
2 years ago, I was with my buddy Tim. We're hunting up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And my one other friend, Jeff, who was with us, he had shot a bear, and we were tracking it, and it was after midnight. You know, it was we're 45 minutes away from the cabin, and we're back where there's no towns anywhere. There's no town for like an hour. And I've never been in such pitch blackness as I was that night. And so after we were tracking his, we found out another buddy had gotten hurt. Somehow he had cut himself. We thought he had stabbed himself or something. Oh, that's kind of the text we get with what limited text we had. So we drive to the location where this guy is down over this hill, down almost like in this bottom, where he had shot a bear. And when he got down, somehow he had fallen like against a log or something, and a branch had gone up into his leg.
Yeah.
And he was like on blood thinners. And so there was more blood on from him than there was the bear. And so
was the bear down?
Well, not
okay,
yet.
That's part of the
not yet.
Yeah, okay. That's creepy.
It's part of the story.
Yeah, okay.
So we get out. There's wolves. I mean, there's wolves in this area big time. And you know it. And we're in the middle of nowhere on a dirt road. And Tim and I, we get in. I shut my truck off. And we're sitting there just kind of waiting for them to let us know where they are so we can come to them. And I held my hand up in the truck. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And so crazy. What was really crazy about the story is I had jumped over a creek in the dark trying to find the bear an hour before the other guy's bear. And I twisted my knee really bad. So I said to Tim, I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to get down that ravine. My knee was really jacked up. And so one of the guys came up and he went back with him. And they have a gurney like you use from World War II to carry soldiers out. And that's what they were taking down to get this bear out. Well, it was so dark. No one. You couldn't see a thing. And when someone would yell, you'd hear Marco. And then way over here, you'd hear Polo. Because they wanted to know, that's a human, not a bear, I'm here.
Yes.
And when they finally found the bear, unfortunately, the bear had not expired yet. And in Canada, you can't carry a gun in the dark like that, load a gun in the woods. And so let's just say that they had an axe that they used for chopping wood. And unfortunately, that was the...
Did the axe go like this? Kaboom.
Okay, let's axe that out of the podcast. It was a real hatchet job.
Yeah, there. Good one. Thank you.
But so they
cut me up over here.
I know. But they had to get the thing out. And when they bring this thing up, I can see their headlamps coming. Now, I've been standing up there for like an hour.
Oh, yeah. It's creepy.
Yeah, and the wolves, you know, and everything.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I can't even see the road. I'm standing on the road. I can't even see it.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, that kind of. So where were we? We were just talking about the darkness, and you brought something up. Looking through a telescope.
Yeah, that's just kind of like heaven really leans in those situations when you get together, and women, men, whatever. But when men get together and they're fellowshipping and they're brothers, or they're learning about Christ, or they're even interested, it's just something special about that.
You know, I just thought about this. When you see, when you're a part of it, you shoot an elk, and you've got four of you, and you cut it up, and you pack it out.
Yeah.
Or you shoot a deer, and you and your buddy, you know, are dragging this thing out of the woods, and you have that shared experience together. And it's hard. It's not easy. I think it's the same thing when men, like I've had a couple of buddies. One gentleman lost his father this morning. I'm getting ready to message him. Another one said he's retiring and he needs a band of brothers right now. These were all messages from this morning. Another guy from Florida reached out to me and he says, I'm needing that in my life right now. My other buddy that messaged me, he's in the hospital. He's going to possibly have his colon removed.
Yeah.
That's all this morning.
Yeah.
This is all before 9 o'clock when I started my rehab. So you can see how when men go through difficult times together, we've all hunted together, these guys I'm talking about, it formed a bond, a brotherhood. And when it really does hit the fan and we need someone showing up for us, we've developed that. That's why it's so important, guys. Who are you walking with? Mm-hmm. Not just who's carrying you out when you die, but who's walking with you through this life.
Yeah. When you do, you know, you go on an elk hunt up in the mountains, 3, 4, or 5 guys, whatever your group is, you don't have a plan to pack out an elk on your own.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who shot it, and you don't have to ask for help.
Yeah.
And that's how life should be.
And you don't go, oh, shoot, man, you just ruined my hunt because now I got to help
now,
you get yours out.
I can't shoot mine now?
Yeah.
Well, you'll never be on this trip with me again.
Right. But it's true. You come together for a purpose. And
yes.
Yeah, this new Big Five Man Killers small group study that I just created, it's at the editor. Everything is being done. It's what I'm talking about. It's getting these guys together. And once that is out, then the next thing will be Unleashed, the one that Kevin and I have been working on. And it really is about forming, and it's about walking with each other. It's how we learn how God, how he walks with us every single day. That hitting bottom moment that you had, and you get to share how God pulled you out of that.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, because if one falls, the other can help him up. I mean, there's just a ton of biblical support for this, right? Ton of biblical support for this.
Well, what's the Proverbs 27? You know, as iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, iron, yeah.
So one man sharpens another.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, that's what the resistance, guys, what we're really trying to talk about when we say this. It isn't about standing alone. It's about standing together. It's about being shoulder to shoulder. It's brothers in the battle. And I know, all men, when you step up and you're involved with something that's bigger than yourself, you do find purpose. And it gives you a reason to get up. You know, how many guys are listening to this? You're on your way to a job, either on your way home or on your way to a job that you really don't care for, and you've been settling for many, many years because of fear. A couple of weeks ago, we just did a podcast, and it was on willing to risk.
Yeah.
You know, are you willing to take a risk? If God has called you to do something, what's holding you back?
There is nothing. This phrase you've started to use since finding out, and it was basically like, I'm going to get it totally wrong, but I'm not afraid of dying, or until God calls me home. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Until God calls me home, I am invincible.
Yeah. That's not just a physical invincibility. I mean, that's a mental, a physical, a spiritual invincibility, right?
Yeah.
When you're rooted in him and he and you are his.
You know, and I think one of the confusing things, I've been through this in my life. I think we all have. You feel like there's more. God's got something more for you, and you're going, but are we talking about my job? Are we talking about something in addition to? What is that? Because are you saying I'm supposed to go quit my job and become a part of the PGA Tour? God wants me to witness that way because I like to play golf? You know, that's one of the questions, guys. So what am I supposed to do with that? How do I even figure out what my purpose is? And one of the things that I say many times with guys is, what's that thing that you can't not do?
Right.
Or you'd find yourself curled up under an underpass somewhere.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, let me give you an update real quick on me. The effort to continue the lifestyle change is going very well.
Yeah, what's happening with that? Last time we talked, you had lost 30 pounds?
Yeah, 35 now.
Okay.
So that probably was over a two-week period. I've sort of stalled at 35 a bit. So, you know, I have noted a couple things to try and figure out what that is. I think one is I do love sausage. I mean, sausage patties are just amazing.
Yeah, but you're going to hit those plateaus where your body stops for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, there's just a ton of sodium is what I'm kind of getting at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not afraid of the sausage. It's the salt that I don't necessarily love. So I think probably holding a little water weight. But, you know, my ankles had been getting a little bit swollen. They're not really experiencing that anymore. That's a great thing. So my numbers have dropped really low. I think I told you that I went from the 350s down to the 140s, on the glucose measure, even after a meal, like 141, I think was my last, and I measure like once a week. I'm just not interested in poking myself three times a day.
I know that. And I don't even poke myself every other day anymore, 'cause I know pretty much where my diet is, what my number is going to look like.
I can tell by how I feel.
Yeah, you can.
Instantly.
Yeah, you can.
I feel. I mean, so Saturday night, we have our supper club. The gal's house we were at, she makes the most amazing beef and noodles. Amazing. A little heavy on the noodles.
Yeah, that's what I was going there. Beef? Okay, well.
A little heavy in the belly. But, you know, you sort of learn what you can tolerate, and you sort of learn ways to tolerate it better. You know, so I'm learning crazy things like, you know, hey, drink Metamucil before you go and eat. A bunch of fiber, or before you go and eat a bunch of carbs, because it'll slow down the processing of the carbs.
Huh.
All right, well, there's a lemonade Metamucil out there, apparently, and it's not too bad. I like it. Tastes okay.
And then drinking a lot of water before, so you feel full.
Yeah, you feel full. Well, yeah. When you hammer the Metamucil, you're drinking at least 8 to 10 ounces anyway, so you're kind of already getting there. Makes that gel in your stomach. And
yep.
I know, it's like cheating the system. I'm the big thing for me is still, I'm really good at staying away from sugar. I mean, I'm now eating blueberries and a little bit of whipped cream at night. That's my dessert, and it's so good.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I would have been like, that's not sweet enough, you know, like 3 months ago.
What's your why behind that?
Well, I think I have a couple that are very obvious. One is I just want to be around with my wife for a long time. I don't want to feel like I left her
yeah.
early or with a mess or whatever. I mean, we had kids that unable to sort of be on their own. It was a much bigger deal. Our kids are now grown, and one's married and the other one's 24. And so they're certainly fine on their own. But I have this renewed, and it's just been like this for the last 7 or 8 years, but just a renewed, not just love, but in love with my wife experience that's been going on, which has been wonderful. And I just love her more and more literally every day. So
I love when you post, you say the lovely sky.
Yeah, the lovely sky or the ever lovely sky.
And we're talking about his wife's name.
We are. And my nickname for her is Sweet Love.
Aw.
Yeah. So, and it has been forever. But yeah, I mean, she's absolutely one of the biggest reasons. So I sort of waffle between, is God a reason or not a reason? So biblically, God's a reason, right? Because my body's a temple and all the stuff that comes with that. And also biblically, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's kind of like, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, or just come get me if you want. So I waffle there. Like
waffle.
Yeah.
That's another food group.
Choice of terms on purpose. Saturday morning, we have a waffle event that I used to go to every Saturday morning, free waffles at a friend's house.
See, I have to eat more fish now. I said that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, that was pretty funny.
Oh, gosh. You better stop now.
On a scale of 1
to
10.
Oh, gosh, just stop. What, did you memorize all these before you came in today? How many times have you used these in your life? All right, well, anyway.
I just had to say it for the hell of it.
I knew there was more coming.
Yeah.
It's going great overall, and I feel really good. I'm much more energetic. I care about pickleball. I'm moving faster on a pickleball court. I have a desire to be a pro pickleball player.
Wow.
Which may sound crazy at 56 years old. I won't compete with the 20-year-olds on their circuit, but there are senior pro tours. And I could absolutely, if I lost the right amount of weight and got into the shape I can get into, I could absolutely be
a senior pro. That's a pretty good why.
Yeah.
I want to see you play. Yeah. I've never seen you play.
Yeah, I'm not bad. I mean, I'm the guy that walks on the court and everyone goes, oh, this will be easy. And then they're like, wait a minute, that wasn't very
right.
easy. Right. Yeah, I'm that dude. Yeah.
It was kind of like the Steelers and the Colts yesterday. Oh, everybody's going, oh, they're just going to kill the Steelers. And
my Chiefs lost yesterday, so it was just sucky Sunday.
Buffalo.
Well, in Buffalo, Buffalo's a tough team.
See, Allen, when he was drafted by Buffalo, Pittsburgh was looking at him, and I went, get him.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy could throw the ball like 70
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. And he can run, too. He's a big boy.
Guy named Donnie Campbell. He eventually got drafted by the Houston Oilers, but I shouldn't have used his name, so maybe I won't go any further with the rest of the story. He's actually a great guy. He was the coach for what's that TV show with the soccer coach that went over to England, really popular. It's out there right now. Ted. Crap.
Ted, that's a weird name.
Yeah, Ted Crap. It's a horrible name.
That
Shoot,
stinks.
It'll come to me. But anyway, he's literally the inspiration for that guy's character in this TV series, and Anyway, Donnie is a great guy, but had an attitude problem when he was in high school and college. I'll just put it to you that way. As I understand it, he could throw from the goal line to the goal line.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Yeah.
100 yards?
He was a monster, and he was an incredible athlete. Just an incredible athlete. So, yeah, that's my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah.
You know, some of these
I heard that's why Houston drafted him.
Remember Billy White Shoes Johnson?
Yeah.
He was a Houston Oiler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Back when, what was his name? Bum Phillips was the...
Bum Phillips, my word.
And Billy White Shoes Johnson came to the Colts for one season. He was in... So I used to live right next to the football field. Yeah. It was right behind my house. Okay. I got to tell the story before we wrap up. This is so good. So Billy White Shoes Johnson is a part of the Colts training squad, and they were at Anderson University, if you remember Anderson College.
Okay.
And this has been many, many years ago. And the football field was right behind my house. And there was a row of bushes that were probably about 4 feet tall. And there was a soccer backboard at the very end of this football field where they could practice kicking against there, you know, like pretending it was the goal.
Yep.
And so there are the clubs are rushing. The men's and the women's clubs are rushing in college. This is in the fall. They're rushing to try to get into a club. And I can hear these guys. And there's a bunch of guys hiding behind this backstop.
Oh, yeah.
And so... They've got, I forget what they had. I think they had tomatoes. And they were when the women came back there, they were hiding, and they were going to hit them with these tomatoes. And I'm thinking, well, this isn't really fair. So they don't know I can hear all this. So I go back in, I get on all my camouflage, I put my camo paint on my face, I get a carton of eggs, and I crawl out on my belly into these bushes. I'm thinking, man, as soon as these guys start hurling these tomatoes at these girls, I'm going to nail them with these eggs. So I get into this again. I'm pulling just quietly, just kind of pulling leaves. It's dark out. I'm pulling leaves up onto my lap, and I'm getting in there and getting everything ready, and I'm watching. And all of a sudden, these two guys come running over to the bush because they couldn't hold it anymore. They had to go. And they're literally 2.5, 3 feet from me, standing there. And as they prepare to use the bush as their toilet, they literally are with 2 seconds away from me getting a little doused. I reach out from the bush, and one guy goes, man, I gotta pee. I reach out from the bush, grab his leg, and I said, not here, you don't. That guy freaked.
He's probably still running.
So back then I was with a group called One. We had been touring with Sandy Patty, and we were doing the very next night our very last concert in Reardon Auditorium. So this would have been, what, April of 92? Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there that night, and they're making a dinner for us before the concert, and this one guy who was serving from the college comes by, and he looks at me. I look at him, and he goes, I know your face. And he goes, that was you. And it just started busting out. I don't even know why. I thought that was a really funny story. But can you imagine somebody reaching out from the bush when you're going to the bathroom? And
well, that would make you pee also.
It would make you do more than pee.
Probably poop a little bit.
I was saying. What's your line? Touching cotton?
Touching cotton.
Yeah, maybe doing that.
It would go past touching cotton.
I'm sorry it wasn't a sad, you know, story like sponsored by Puffs, but...
Oh.
Yeah, Charmin. But
we have got...
We've gotten way off track here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? We need this every... This is what guys do like at hunting camp, though.
Thankfully, I wasn't the butt of all your jokes today.
Well, that stinks.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyhow, I hope you guys got a good laugh out of our poor sense of humor today, because every now and then you just gotta let your hair down.
Weakness leaving the body.
It was.
In the form of words today.
But I want to say to you guys, the fun we're having, this is what guys do when they get together. They're talking stories, jokes, humor, hunting things. But you got to get your guys together. So what I want you to do, guys, I don't want you to wait for your pastor to get the small group started to say, hey, Pastor, could we do a small game dinner or something, or a wild game dinner? You know what? You host it. You host it at some place of your choosing. Or you go to him and say, I want to do this. I'm willing to put the team together to get this going. You get guys to donate wild game, fish, prizes. Put this thing together, because that impact that you're going to have when you're reaching these guys, some of these game dinners, I think the smallest one I've ever spoken for was about 30, and it was in a snowstorm in the mountains of Pennsylvania. And he goes, sorry, we only have 30 guys. I said, I didn't come whether you had 30 guys or whether you have 30,000. Everybody that comes through that door, just think about exponentially what Jesus did with the 12 disciples.
Oh, my gosh. You know the story about Billy Graham? He and a buddy, who ended up being a part of his ministry, he and a buddy were walking by like a revival tent. I mean, this is like 1936 or something like that. And they kind of peek in, and it is packed. Some famous pastor is talking. It's full. There's nowhere for this. So they turn around. They start to walk away. And an usher sees them walking away. And to this day, we do not know the usher's name. And he sees them walking away. He runs after them, and he grabs one of the boys, and he goes, hey, I will find a space for you two boys. They go back in. He asks some people to slide over. Those two boys sit down. They both become saved that day. And one of them is Billy Graham. And you think about what that one usher did. Billy Graham preached to more people in person than anyone we've recorded.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Because
that's the point you're making.
When I had written the book before last was a book called Into the Wilds. I got a letter from Franklin Graham. Thank you for writing this book. I've still got that to this day. You know, it's those people that have an influence in your life. And that's what we're saying to you is, guys, be the influence to others. You know, you've got so many buddies out there. The guys that love the outdoors love this kind of stuff. And you're going, but how can I ever reach them? Well, we just kind of gave you some great ideas. And if you want to find out, here's something else you can do. You can go to unleash.men, and you can send me a thing on there saying, hey, I'm all in on this. I want to do it. How do I do it? And I can help walk you through it. All kinds of great stuff. But anyhow, we just want to encourage you guys to be a part of the resistance. It is so important that you watch and see where God is at work, and then you join him in it.
Yeah, stand up. It's time to stand up.
Yeah, he will put those desires on your heart. Father God, I want to say thank you for sparing my life and allowing me to be a part of this brotherhood that we have, even over the, I don't want to say airwaves, but through the internet and everything we're doing. And I want to thank you for the men who are listening right now. These guys, they're tired of being passive. You know, they want to step into the fight. They're just saying, but where is it? Show me how to get there. You know, Lord, here I am. Send me. So, Lord, I just ask that you would awaken that warrior within every single one of us. Give us the courage to lead. Give us compassion to serve, to pick up the cross, not to just want to wear one, no matter what it costs. And give us that strength to stand for the truth, even when we can't even stand anymore, Father. We rely on you, and we know that you are good. Give us what we need. And God, build that resistance one man, one fire, one roar at a time. And I ask that in Jesus' mighty name. Kevin, buddy, thank you for being here every single week.
Love it.
And I know that you're fitting 4 gallons into a quart jar, 5 today doing the podcast.
Nah, I'm reducing them.
Well, guys, take what you've heard today. Look where God is moving. And remember this, that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed.
Amen. That's the resistance.
Be the resistance, guys. We'll see you next time.